Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29 and Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
Bruce Smith got it to go down.
Really good play call by Konzo Martin.
Alley-oop to Nico. Hits it for three. Got it. Nico with the screen. Drew Smith fires for three.
What a great decision.
Pinson finger roll. Got it. So Missouri will take the win. Not the prettiest of games.
Yeah, I feel like it just keeps going as life goes on, right? Yeah, I mean, once you win one, you won it a million times.
Yeah.
Every time it comes back around, I'm sure I'll just be sitting there laughing, you know, just enjoying it. Hopefully I'll go back next year. And I mean, that's the mind frame is once you get one, the unbelievable confidence and aura that it gives you, it makes you want to go back again and do it all over again.
Is this an alcoholic beverage?
This is ice and a lime. And a little tequila.
And now, ready for Petro Anderson 3, the thriller in vanilla, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro in the program on Sports Radio 810. WHB, as you said earlier in the Sports Center, we will have Corey Anderson on from the Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana, where he has done a fantastic job covering the Combine. Great stuff in the zone last hour. A lot of great Chiefs football talk. We will discuss that here during the course of the program. We've got a lot to get to. It's a busy day. Corey is coming up in our next hour. Apparently, some demand about getting on the road so he can get back home to see his family.
Blah, blah.
Guess we all gotta have our priorities, right?
I don't get it, man.
But
fight through it.
So, you know, we were gonna do them later, but now we've been told it'll be next hour. So next segment, next hour. Peter Yates Enoch joins us. We'll get some deadlines. Play Stump the Chumps in Arizona. Did not have time because of travel issues. Not issues, but timing. For a Stump the Chumps. We will play Stump the Chumps for your first time in 2 weeks.
I have not seen Pete in 3 weeks. To win
some great Cajun
Two Thursdays ago.
Well, we'll see if Pete's made it without you
it
for
be
two
like,
weeks.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what, mister. It is rough not having you here at my side. Give me knucks when I had good questions.
I spoke to Pete last night. He didn't mention anything about missing you.
I know. That's kind of where I expected it to be.
I know. It's over.
Blair Kirkhoff's coming at 4 o'clock. We'll talk about K-State losing its defensive coordinator. I'll get some thoughts on that here in a second. And Nate Taylor from The Athletic in the 5 o'clock hour. He, too, in Indianapolis. So wall-to-wall combine coverage. That's what you get here on the home of the National Football League. Sports Radio 810 WHB. We never, ever sleep on the National Football League.
Nope.
It does not happen.
No reason to.
Let's start with K-State losing its defensive coordinator, allegedly. Scotty Hazleton, supposed to be leaving to take the Michigan State job.
For a lot of money. A lot more money, what I'm saying.
So what do we take from that?
That's unless they... If he continues to find good assistants that are successful, they're gonna continue to have bigger programs, poach them for more money.
Well, but
what I'm seeing, maybe going from $550,000, he was the highest paid assistant for K-State last year, $550,000, and the deal that sends him to Michigan State could drive his salary north of $1 million, so roughly doubling his salary,
which is still less than half of what the highest paid defensive coordinators in college football make.
Yep.
So let's keep in mind, now, it's entirely possible that K-State could have matched that money, and he said, no, I'm going to Michigan State because that's a stepping stone. I go kill it. At Michigan State, I'm a head coach. I think I'm two steps away here at K-State. That's possible. But I think this is significant because it does show that there is at least a line either between the jobs that if these reports are true, and we don't know for sure, these are the early reports, we'll see more details I think will come about later. But if he is jumping for the better job, then it shows that in his mind, there is a line between a Michigan State job, which is little brother in the state of Michigan, Big Ten program, and what, you know, I hate to say little brother because football-wise, K-State is certainly not KU's little brother.
No.
Right? They get referred to that, but they're big brother in the state of Kansas in the Big 12 when it comes to football. And until Kansas has any kind of sustained success, if they have sustained success at football, then I'll listen to it. Generally speaking, the U is generally the big brother to the state. Ohio State being the massive exception. Yeah. There are probably a couple others out there I'm not thinking, but Ole Miss is the big brother to Mississippi State. You know, Florida certainly is to Florida State.
Penn State. I mean, there are.
Although academically, Penn is big brother.
They destroy. There are less than a handful of. You probably count them on one hand.
But K-State's, we don't need to get into it, irrelevant to whether KU or K-State. Michigan State's bigger. Big Ten is spending more money. And this is not the $2.45 million, I think, for 3 years that is being given to Brett Venables, or the $2.5 million for 2 years that is being given to Kevin Steele, the defensive coordinator at Auburn. Steele has the highest per year. Venables has the most total dollars of any coordinators out there. And if I'm off on Venables, maybe he's 2.4, but I thought he was in the midst of, I think he's in year two of a three-year 2.4 per or 2.45 per deal. This isn't even half that if it's a little bit over $1 million. I'm somewhat surprised K-State isn't stepping up to answer the bell. Now, the question is, you know, all right, now head coach goes, whoa, 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 whoa. I mean, you got to take me north, right? So, listen, it's not going to be, you know, people don't want to talk about this, but there's an economic seemingly ceiling that we've now seen with K-State football, correct?
Yes.
Whatever other dominoes would have to fall to pay Hazleton, K-State is not willing to write those checks. Or it's one or the other. Or Hazleton said, irrelevant, Michigan State, better gig for me and where I want to go career-wise. That's a definitive one of two things for me.
I think it's it's definitive.
I do.
Money.
Do you? No, well, no, I don't care which one it is.
Oh.
I just mean it's definitely one of those two things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is a defining moment in where K-State football is right now. They did not keep their defensive coordinator. And I think if you rewind 5, 6, 7 years ago, you would say K-State, Michigan State, those are comparable jobs. Maybe not. I'm sure Big Ten people would say, hell no, it wasn't. But when K-State's battling for the Big 12 championship, when they're in the national championship hunt, I think you would have said, well, D.C. at K-State, better job than Michigan State. And maybe that's provincial. But I know K-State, listen, Michigan State was in the playoffs, what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
Was it four?
Can't remember where it was. But, you know, I'm surprised. Now, do you have the guy? Are you locked and loaded? If you're a K-State fan, you're like, listen, the DB coach is really the brains of the job, and he's going to get bumped up into that, and so you're not going to have to spend that kind of money on him. And the guy who's really the juice, the guy who really comes up with it all, he's still there, and he's the guy. Whether that's true or not, I give it about 4 hours, and it will be written. It will be written on a team-centric website that the guy who is really the juice on the defense is still there. The reason I predict that is because it's written every single time I ever see a coordinator leave and go get a coordinator job, not a head coach job. I see that written every time.
Yeah, but in reality,
fan bases will always, and fan-driven sites, which are there to just feed the appetite, will always give you what you want. You're going to click on the one that says, K-State's actually in better position. Oh, let me read that one. And that's the one you'll quote. It's what
and
I
retweet.
It's what I threw at Corey the other day when he quoted one guy. And I said, well, what do the other guys say? Well, what do you mean? I said, well, you found the one guy who says, got to sign Chris Jones.
Yeah.
You always find the story that supports your point. That's true of all of us. we're a fan of what we've said. We're a fan of our point. We're certainly a fan of our teams. But we do it in the media as well.
Yeah, it's just a human instinct.
It's a human instinct. Look for the people who support what you already believe. It takes guts, balls, strength,
confirmation,
and self-confidence to go read the story that says, ooh, what I think is wrong. I would invite everybody to have that kind of strength, self-confidence, and go take a look at the opposing opinion.
Yeah.
Right? If you think we can't sign Chris Jones, then read the guys who say you got to sign Chris Jones. And if you think the Chiefs don't have the cap room for Chris Jones, make sure you read the guys who say they got to sign Chris Jones.
Excuse me, the other way around.
I don't think I gave the other side. If you believe that you got to keep Chris Jones, you should listen, you should read the people who say, well, this is why the Chiefs probably have to move on.
Even if what you think is normal and not what you want, you should read the other side. But particularly, you should read the other side if what you think is happening is good for you.
Yeah.
That's why scientists do double-blind studies, because they don't want their want to become the discovery.
That's right. That's right. That's a scientific approach.
As soon as they find something, they go to work immediately trying to defeat what they just discovered.
Now, let me be clear. I am not in any way, shape, or form saying that this is going to be a really bad thing for K-State. It may be irrelevant. It may be a good thing because that wonder boy may be on that staff. Chris Klieman may have been all the juice on the defensive side. That's his side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris Klieman may be the Bill Belichick, and this is just, you know, rocket scientist beard guy leaving to take the Lions job. Matt Patricia. Thank you, Jed. Couldn't remember. You know, I like to just try to describe them so you know I do know who I'm talking about. I'm just a moron when it comes to names.
I almost like Rocket Science Beard Guy better.
Rocket Science Beard Guy with pencil over his ear. How's that? That's what it'll be on this show. I've come up with an acronym, see if that works anyway. My point is, listen, it may not hurt K-State at all, and they may have made absolutely the right decision. And you know, I guess if I'm wrong that this does define that Michigan State will spend more money than K-State, that Big Ten – it's just more important there, too, than the Big 12. If I'm wrong about that, then, you know, okay. Then the reason I'm wrong is because Klieman's the juice or somebody else is the juice. That is possible. And I do believe that that will be written, because that's what you got to make yourself believe if you're at K-State. If he truly is gone, but these seems to be credible reports, he's gone. You got to make yourself believe, and then you got to make it happen that you're better without him.
Make it so.
You have no choice. Michigan State made the playoffs in 2015, where they were crushed by Alabama 38-0.
On New Year's Eve.
And I'm in the ballpark, was it? Not quite as high. 2.3, it looks like. 2.32.
Yeah.
For Venables. Five-year, $11.6 million deal signed going into the 18 season. So he's coached two of those 5 years. Five-year. Assistant coaches generally don't get, but about year-by-years. Coordinators, I think the norm has become at least two-year deals. Kevin Steele, 2 years, $5 million, I think it was, down at Auburn that he got. But anyway, just to be precise on the numbers, those are the big deals that are out there for DCs. I'm not saying that Scotty Hazleton has earned a contract like that. I'm just saying Michigan State has come and poached K-State's DC for significantly less than what the top defensive coordinators are making. That's all. We'll see where it goes from here. Chris Klieman had a great debut. Most people would tend to tell you, at least I will, you lose your entire offensive line, you're going to take a step back to take two steps forward. Hopefully take two steps forward, because you lose the O-line. I think it's going to be a rougher go. But Chris Klieman is an unknown, and he may be an absolute brilliant when it comes to the offensive line, and maybe they'll just reload. I know this. He had a hell of a first season. 8-4.
For sure.
Tough bowl game assignment against Navy where he went toe-to-toe. I got nothing but positive to say about Chris Klieman, and so I think there's every reason to believe that they will survive this. But it's kind of early. That's what happens when you go 8-4. It's kind of early to have to be replacing these coordinators.
This third guy, because he had to bring Hazleton in when Monachino.
Yeah. Left. So, all right, we'll talk more about that with Blair Kirkhoff. He's coming up in our 4 o'clock hour. We'll take a break. We'll talk to Corey Anderson. He's in Indy at the combine. And is next.
The program with Soren Petro.
Okay, somebody's going to have to explain that to me.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk some combine. Corey Anderson, brought to you by our friends at Family Leisure. Listen, there is no better place to go if you want to combine family and fun than my friends at Family Leisure, owned and operated locally. And, of course, where you can get everything you need from bar stools to the bars to poker tables, shuffleboard tables. Time to start talking about that patio furniture. Like, we got a great weekend coming. If your patio furniture is falling apart, I can tell you that I've had the same Hold on, Corey. Hold on. Calm down.
You just caught Jed and Corey talking to each other.
Calm down.
It happens.
Difference between audition and programming. It's all right. We're all good. I've had the same patio furniture, God, I want to say like 14 years in the same set, and we can add on to it and have numerous times. Great time to get over to Family Leisure. It is a great, great time. Pool, spa, and patio. Their factory direct sale is going on right now at Family Leisure. K10 and Ridgeview is where you can go this weekend and check out all the incredible lines of patio furniture that you could want. And if you want, make sure you mention Sports Radio 810 WHB or the program or me, and you can save even more always when you mention A10. All right, Skippy. Now let's get to it. Corey Anderson in Indianapolis at the Combine. How you doing, buddy?
I am good. As we this will be my last day here for covering the Combine, so I'm a little sad.
This is the last thing you're doing, right? After this, you're leaving skid marks getting out of Indy.
I am. I am packing up and heading out as soon as we are done here because, we've got no more local kids that are going to be talking, and all the workouts and stuff start tonight, but we're not allowed to go in and see those. So, yeah, there's not much reason to stay around anymore.
And you drove because the flight schedule is such out of Indianapolis, unless you want to fly at like 5 a.m. or at like midnight, then you have to connect, which means you save, if it's on time, like 8 minutes by flying. So you're driving. What was your drive time, KC, to Indy when you went out?
It was about 7 hours and 20 minutes, I think, roughly.
Did you have to stop to drop a deuce, or what happened? What was the problem?
I stopped and got some gas. That was it.
Okay.
That was it. All 7 right. hours and 15, 7:20, something like that.
7:15. little alone time.
Sren usually gets here about 4.
Oh, yeah?
About okay. 4.
Not 4.
Yeah, I usually set the cruise control 8 miles above the speed limit. So that
really?
Way,
of course
yeah,
you do.
So I'm going faster than the speed limit, but I'm not going to probably get pulled over.
Way to go, Griswold.
Hey, no problem.
Yeah.
That's what I do. That's how I do it.
10-2.
No, not 10-2.
Yeah.
No?
I drive with my knee.
Better.
Safe.
Yeah. Good call.
Not really.
Good call. I think when Steven and I went there for the Super Bowl, it was about 6.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, it's not going to be 6 for me coming home.
Okay.
Especially because there's snow and ice on the roads up here. We're in a wintry mix, as Gary Lee.
Whoa, well, that's – hey, listen, that's no joke. I do not speed through weather. Coming back, Stephen and I took forever because it was pouring rain at like, 38 degrees or something at that time of the year. And so it was long getting home. But
I will
there,
say it was raining the entire way here except for maybe 20 minutes of my drive. It was raining. So.
Okay.
Strong.
All right, enough about driving, Corey. Let's get to what we're here to talk about, and that would be the combine, the players. Let's talk about a couple of local players, and then you and I will make our last pitch to the general manager of the Chiefs. If the listener is Brett Veach, you and I have made several pitches. We've argued. We've stood on the table, if you will, which is one of the terms that's used around the NFL, for our points of view on how to handle the Chris Jones situation. The listeners get to be the general manager and take in all the information and then make their own choice. We'll do that after we hear about a couple of defensive linemen, or maybe, I guess, outside backer slash defensive linemen when it comes to Azir Kamara. But let's start with Jordan Elliott from Mizzou. First-round talent, we were told by the folks at PFF. Jordan Elliott, nice guy to talk to. Did you enjoy your chat?
I did. He's a really sharp kid, and he is really excited about the process. We talked quite a bit about whether he feels any pressure out here, and he surprisingly was really relaxed. He's rooming with Cale Garrett out here, so he's got some familiarity there. And he said, you know, because I figured this would be a pretty stressful situation for these guys. I mean, imagine this being kind of your job interview, and it's multiple days, and it's interviewing with all these teams and scrutinizing your medical records and all of that. Like, it feels like it would be pretty stressful. And he seemed to just be kind of taking it all in stride, and it wasn't a big deal to him at all. But he did decide to come out early. He's obviously not a lock to be a day one pick, probably going to be a guy that gets his name called in day two. And he decided to come out early. And so one of the questions that I asked him was if Barry Odom's firing was something that led to his decision to leave Mizzou a year early.
They haven't factored at all. You know, that kind of happened really like when I already made the decision, you know, so it was just one of those things. But, you know, I still keep in touch with Coach Odom to this day. So
you cut a lot of weight coming into this final year. Where were you at your biggest?
There's the times I was like 340 pounds, yeah. You know, so just changing my diet, I cut out a lot of red meat, chicken. So, yeah, that's the reason I shed it.
Why'd you make that decision?
I felt a lot heavy, like just my joints and everything just felt like jammed and compact. I cut out those things and I felt a lot cleaner and just felt smoother, you know. So.
What'd you weigh in this week?
I'm at 302.
So the bowl ban was upheld for you guys. You weren't able to go to a bowl even though you qualified. Did that end up kind of being a blessing in disguise for those of you that knew you were going to take this next step? Like, were you able to utilize that time to start focusing on training for the combine and getting ready for this,
right,
even though you would have liked to have been in a bowl game?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, unfortunately, we didn't have that chance. But, you know, as soon as the season was over, I went straight to Florida and trained, you know. So I had a lot of time to get ready for this. And, you know, I know that I'm ready, so it was a blessing in disguise.
So that's Jordan Elliott, defensive lineman for Mizzou, and guy's got a lot of talent, and he's going to meet with a lot of teams. He did go on to say that he has met with the Chiefs and that Brett Veach and Andy Reid were both in the room when he met with them. So some of the guys, when they get meetings, guys, they're just meeting with the scouts. And then some of the guys get meetings, and they're meeting with GMs and coaches as well. So I think that obviously shows you the Chiefs at least have some legitimate interest in this guy, given the fact that Veach and Reed were both in the room there.
Well, there it is. It's all solved. Jordan Elliott at 32 to the Chiefs, and Chris Jones traded for two first-round picks after being franchise tagged, and the Chiefs move on, and they're a better team for it, right?
There you go. You've converted me. I am on the other side now. Get that bum Chris Jones out of Kansas City.
Oh, no. Nobody thinks he's a bum, but we'll get to that in a minute. But I do think Elliott's a guy that, you know, I don't know that he's going to, you know, I don't think he's going to be J.J. Watt or maybe even Chris Jones, right? The guy that's the great interior pass rusher. But what he is a really good all-around defensive end. And you talk about kind of weight he has carried. He talked about carrying up to 340 pounds. I don't know that in the NFL that's where you want to be. But he's also carried less. So, to me, you got a guy.
And he played it less. He said he played this last year at 306. So,
But a guy that can carry 340, if you say, listen, what we need you to do is plug against the run. Can you get to 320, 325? You know he can. And you know he can play at a high level. So I do think he's very much just after you mentioned what he said about Brett Veach and Andy Reid being in the room. That absolutely is who they may pick. You guys have talked a lot about it on the Zone, about how many defensive linemen. I think it was Jason who quoted, was it 17 or 19 defensive linemen?
19 defensive linemen that he's taken in the first three rounds, Andy Reid, over his career. Yeah,
Is, I know that. And listen, and I think that's smart. You know, from an analytic standpoint, the difference-making defensive linemen, there are only so many of them, and you better get them quick because then they come off the board and you get to the JAG level. And I do think there's some good ones in the second and third rounds, but the Chiefs' second round is basically a third, and their third is basically a fourth. So you really have their top two picks. If you're going to feel comfortable that you're getting somebody that's a difference-making defensive lineman, they've got to take them in the first couple of rounds. And listen, I think they may go D-line even if they keep Chris Jones. I mean, I think they know. I think Andy Reid believes in, one of the first things he said to me when he came to Kansas City is, listen, you better come at people on defense. You better bring it, and you better get there. Man, so I think he believes in winning in the trenches, and you add Elliott in there, and maybe that gives Jones the ability, if you keep him, to slide out to the outside, or if you draft him, it gives you the ability to go look at maybe a defensive end in free agency if you don't have Chris Jones. But I think they're very serious. I think every year picking defensive linemen for the Chiefs to take with their first-round draft pick is not a bad thing if you're trying to win some pool about who they're going to take.
Yeah, it's the most he's taken of any position in his career. I believe it was 19 defensive linemen, 12 defensive backs, 8 receivers, and 7 offensive linemen is what we got down to, because we were trying to find where he valued offensive linemen. And it was so 19 defensive linemen to 7 on the offensive line. So clearly he realizes that you've got to spend those higher picks to get those impact guys on the defensive line. And I think Seren as well, like, Jordan Elliott is a guy that could be a consideration for the Chiefs if they stay at 32. A lot of that will obviously be determined with what they've done. Like you said, even if they still have Chris Jones, could they consider that? What have they done at that point on Kendall Fuller or Bashaud Breeland, or where are they at in the cornerback market? Have they brought in any free agents at that point? Because I think corner is another spot that if they feel like there's a good player there, I think so much of that, and this is not, I'm not reinventing the wheel, but so much of that's going to depend on what they've done in free agency up until that point. But yeah, Jordan Elliott could be a guy at 32 that they could be considering. But I did think it was interesting that Veach and Reed were both in the room.
Azur Kamara from KU, a guy that is an edge rusher, and a guy that, you know, who thinks he is what at the next level. You said he's with the linebackers.
Yeah, he's here with the linebackers, but he definitely thinks of himself as more of a get after the quarterback kind of guy, because I asked him if there were any NFL players that he kind of patterns his game after.
I like watching Von Miller a lot and Chandler Jones, because for the AZ Cardinals, and those are the two guys that I feel like they got really good pass rush moves. So I try to study their games a little bit and try to pick up after them.
So it sounds like you want to get after the quarterback, right?
Yeah, definitely.
What about your ability in the run game? So if you enjoy the pass game, you enjoy getting after the quarterback, but what would you rank as your strengths in the run game?
I feel like I play a really good run game, because you can see in TCU, it shows that because I like playing really aggressive, and my job was at Kansas was set the edge, and I feel like I did a pretty good job at that.
How different was it this past year with Les Miles? I mean, obviously you were there under Coach Beatty, but Les Miles comes in. He's got a pedigree. He's won a national title. What was it like under him? Do you feel like you learned quite a bit in this last year from him to get you ready for this?
Yeah, I did. Les Miles did. He's done a great job of helping me get to where I am right now. And he's a relentless coach. Like, when he wants very detailed, when he wants one thing one way, it got to be done that way. So that helped me to the player I am today. And I'm grateful he kind of came in. And he really helped me throughout this process.
I know that it didn't go as good as you guys would have hoped for with the wins and losses at KU, but do you feel like they're on a path to kind of trend upward now? Do you feel like the program's going to be in better shape going forward?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, Les Miles stay there. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind it's going to turn around with the next 2 years or three.
So that's Azur Kamara, and he is just one of those guys. I mean, you know, potentially a guy that could be a mid to late round pick. He's just excited to be here. And again, I asked him the question too about how nervous is he doing all this out here, and he said not at all, that he's just kind of taking it in stride. He said that you have to sit around and wait quite a bit for all the medical stuff. He wishes it would be a little quicker, but that it hasn't really been stressful, or it hasn't, none of that has bothered him so far.
Yeah, and he is a guy that is a later round guy. You know, I think he knows that, but I think he's a guy that it probably has got to be a linebacker. He's going to have to put more weight on. I'm looking here for what was his. Do you know what his combine weight was?
I did not get an official weight, but yeah, he does not. He doesn't. He didn't come and look like he was too big, right?
Right.
He didn't look like, so Cale Garrett actually looked like he fit the bill much more than Azur Kamara.
I'm scrolling through. I'm going to find it. But, you know, I think the reason 6'4", 235 is what they listed him at there at Kansas. And here, let's see if I can zero in. Azur Kamara came in at 6'3 and a quarter and 245.
Okay.
82 and 5/8 wingspan.
Is that good?
That's pretty good. That's long armed. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, they usually I don't know, this site that I clicked on didn't have the arm length. Usually they'll have it anything, you know, For a guy that's going to play in the trenches, 32 is usually the bare minimum. They'd like him to be at least 33 inches. And at 82 and change, he's probably 34, 35 inches up there on his arm length, so that, you know, they'll like that. By the way, if you're curious, if at any point they want him to throw the football, he does have 10-inch hands.
So he can get that tight.
Oh, wait,
spiral.
Here it is. I'm sorry, 35 and a quarter. On the arm length. So, yes, very long arm. So I think that somebody will look at him as a project late and say, okay, we can put some weight on the guy, and we may have a guy who can be a good all-around defensive end. So
yeah, and I'm actually surprised to hear you say that he was 245, because he didn't – he obviously carries it well at
6'4" did I say? 6'3" and a quarter.
6'3" and a quarter, yeah, because he didn't look bulked up at all, right? Like, he, so 245, I would have guessed somewhere closer to like 225, which, 220 even.
And you could tell by the accent, a guy that hasn't been around the game his whole life, right? So, I mean, to me, there's a lot of upside there with Kamara. So let's take a break, and then we'll make our final pitch to you, the general manager, as to, we both agree we want the Chiefs to sign him. Let me set the table first. We want the Chiefs to sign him, but what it will take to get him signed, what you need to keep in mind. We'll do that next with Corey Anderson, his final stop in Indianapolis at the Combine, covering it for us here at Sports Radio 810 WHB, is talking to us, and we appreciate that. We're keeping him from getting home to his wonderful family. We'll take a break. One more segment with Corey Anderson next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
You will not like me. But the more you hate me, the more you will learn.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, welcome back. You're in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB, talking some Combine. This segment of the program brought to you by our friends at Family Leisure. Their Factor Direct pool, spa, and patio sale is on. It's going to be warming up this weekend. Get everything you need right there at Family Leisure, one of my favorite places on earth, locally owned and operated there at K10 in Ridgeview. Find them online at familyleisure.com. We talked to Corey Anderson. He's still in Indy. One more segment before he hits the road and heads out to get back to Kansas City. Great, great work by Corey. Soren Petro, Curtis Siebel, Jed Marshall running the operations here at 810 in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. That's where Corey Anderson can be found. One more segment of radio. And by the way, I'll reiterate what a great job Corey has done covering the Combine for us. It's been great listening to him all along throughout it. So nice work. Congrats, and get home
safe.
Well,
thank you, sir.
You bet. You bet. All right, last pitch. You know, I don't know that there needs to be the venom. It'll probably happen. Let's be honest. What the hell? We're probably going to end
up. It's been very civil, I think.
Mostly. All the tweets I've gotten say you've been out of line. But, yeah. That's not true, by the way.
The Petro posse weighing in.
Trust me.
Friends, family.
Everybody, this is the point we're trying to make with this conversation is, there is a cap, and you have to make difficult decisions, right? The question is, how far will you go with one player? Now, again, I touched on this a little bit to wrap up last segment, but we both agree, whether you believe it, most people would be shocked to hear this, from me. We want Chris Jones on the Chiefs. The question is, how much can you pay him and get better as a team, right? Every team's getting better. What is the limit to what you can pay him for? So I will give you a couple other things to consider, right? You, the general manager, the listener out there, to consider. Number one, in this scenario, while you've done radio in this town for a while, you're just getting back into the mix here.
Yep.
So you're kind of like the new scout that's come in. There's not really a track record, right? So I'm not saying this is unfair, but I'm the shockingly old scout who's been around. And I will offer this. I've upset people in this town for saying there's no reason to re-sign Priest Holmes when you have Larry Johnson sitting there. They re-signed him anyway. Did it work out? Larry Johnson, big contract. We talked about it. The Packers were reportedly offering picks for Larry Johnson. I said, do not give that kind of money to a running back. It's a disposable position. You've got to take the picks and move on. Did the contract work out for Larry Johnson? It didn't.
Justin Houston's contract came up coming off a 22-sack year. You, Corey, have pointed out a couple of times, you know, and I heard you earlier today talking about, well, you know, I referenced Grady Jarrett and what he's making, and you said, well, he had a better year than Grady Jarrett coming in. Valid, yes. He deserves more than what Grady Jarrett got in his contract. But his production is similar. But to that point, Justin Houston had maybe the greatest pass rush year in the history of the NFL. Right? I'd have to go back and look at what his pressures were in addition to. But he almost broke the sack record. And I said, listen, I know this is painful everybody to hear, but here's what Derek Thomas did after he had 20 sacks. And I didn't say Derek Thomas. I said, if he gives you this for the next X number of years, will you be satisfied with it? And everybody across the board said, no. Got to sign him, and he's got to do better than that. He didn't come close to what Derek Thomas did after his 20-sack year. The Chiefs re-signed him, and they carried a huge contract with a guy who missed game after game after game. All right? And they never did realize their full potential. And everybody was mad when I said, listen, you trade Justin Houston now, and you move on. Right? This is what you do to build the best team. And finally, everybody got pissed when I said, you don't give a safety the kind of money they're talking about with Eric Berry. All right? I said, you just don't do it. Turnovers are what you're looking for on defense, and a safety generally doesn't give you that kind of money. Everybody got pissed. Everybody's bitched. I'll bet you largely it's been the same folks on a regular basis that didn't like what I had to say about Priest Holmes, didn't like what I had to say about Larry Johnson, didn't like what I had to say about Justin Houston, and didn't like to say what I had to say about Eric Berry. Those are the last four big contracts, big contract negotiations that have gone on. And in all four circumstances, I think we can all agree, signing mega deals for those guys did not work out, right?
Correct.
Why will it work out better here with Chris Jones? And what
well,
do you...
Jones- Oh, okay.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, Chris Jones isn't any of those guys, right? Like, every situation is unique. You can't just say, because this happened to Eric Berry and because this happened to Justin Houston, well, then we have to be scared of signing Chris Jones. Chris Jones is elite. He is a player that disrupts the other team. He is a player that gets a push up the middle, which is so valuable in the NFL, playing a position where you can have edge rushers. How many times do we see, now that the Broncos don't have an elite defense, how many times do you see, if you're watching a Broncos game, Von Miller gets around the corner, gets a hand on the quarterback's shoulder or on his back, and the quarterback just steps right up in the middle and delivers a pass. And hang on. I'm saying Chris Jones is at a position right now where he provides something that is so valuable in the NFL, somebody that can actually collapse the middle of the pocket to allow your edge rushers to then get around, and the quarterback still has to be there because he's not able to step up in the pocket. Chris Jones provides that. Am I going to sit here and guarantee that there's not going to be an injury? No, you can't do that, but you also can't play scared, and you can't walk away from a stud defensive tackle, a guy that helped you win a Super Bowl, and a guy that makes your defensive line one of the elite defensive lines if Frank Clark is playing at at his highest level as well. You can't be scared just because of past contracts because you want to keep this guy. They just signed Frank Clark to a mega deal, and so far you're not complaining about that one because they've got a Super Bowl ring. So that's the latest mega deal they've worked out, and it's proved to be okay so far.
Curtis, what year did the Broncos win the Super Bowl?
15.
And then they signed Von Miller. How many Super Bowls have they won with Von Miller on a six-year, $114 million deal?
Zero.
All right,
Curtis,
so
who was the quarterback for the Denver Broncos when they won the Super Bowl?
Almost said John Elway.
Peyton Manning.
The shell of Peyton Manning.
Right.
True.
What was left?
Who have been the quarterbacks since?
But that's the point. I listen to you. Now you listen to me. All right. That's the point. Is Von Miller under a regular contract with Peyton Manning gave them great returns. They knew they were losing Peyton Manning, and they gave him the money. And giving the money to Von Miller is limited where they could spend other places. No doubt, the quarterback is it. But you got to pay the quarterback, mm-hmm. right? And that's the element that's there, and the Broncos haven't had to pay a quarterback. Now, they brought in Joe Flacco with them, and it didn't work. That's that, which, again, gets me back to my original point that we've talked about is you pay Patrick Mahomes first, then you worry about Chris Jones. You got to figure out where you are with Mahomes. And I don't know that we're going to know where you are. I disagree with Matt Verderam that, no, you can go ahead and sign Patrick Mahomes because everybody else will just take less. I don't agree that, neither do you, right? That's what you said yesterday. So I think you've got to get Mahomes settled first. But back to what you said. So on Von Miller, that's great about Von Miller, but he's an edge rusher. And Chris Jones does not get the kind of pressures.
No. But what I was talking about, the pressure, Jones provides something so valuable that makes Frank Clark a better player, right? So many times, a quarterback's still going to have to be in a five-step drop because he can't step up in the pocket because Chris Jones has collapsed the middle of the pocket.
I mean, listen, I rattled off the edge pass rushers. Mm-hmm. They all have significantly higher numbers than Chris Jones and even Aaron Donald. Right, so the guys off the edge are the ones that are going to get the pressures, and so realistically, you could talk about how great he is as a defensive tackle, but realistically speaking, and we can talk about all the guys. You know, the other guys that are up there with him percentage wise are Aaron Donald and Grady Jarrett, and who are ahead of him. And either one of those teams made the playoffs. Like, I think it's erroneous to say the Chiefs made the playoffs or won the Super Bowl because of Chris Jones. I know you're not saying that, but there's a mindset that's out there. And I think it is a position that, yes, you would love to have him. And he was a big part of them winning the Super Bowl because he gave them great production while cheap. But he's no longer going to be cheap. And I'll remind everybody again, if you walk on him, you're not just cutting him. You're going to trade him. So you're going to get cap room to sign other players, and you're going to get some kind of draft pick compensation in a deal. The question is, are the draft picks, and do you trust in the team to use the draft picks right? You better, or fire the general manager. The draft picks and the cap room are more valuable than Jones. But back to your point on Chris Jones and what he brings. He is a great player. But I'll cite all these other great players. The quarterback is what makes it go. It's the most important thing. Would the New England Patriots re-sign Chris Jones to a $100 million deal?
They might.
No.
I think they would.
What precedent?
The New England Patriots.
They walked on Richard Seymour. They walked on Trey Flowers.
How old was Trey Flowers?
He was 26 years old.
Yeah. Trey Flowers is not Chris Jones. Come on now.
I don't recall them spending that kind of money on linemen.
They don't.
They spend it in the secondary.
They don't. They spend in the secondary. The one guy that they've given a top of the world spending is Rob Gronkowski. That's it. Otherwise, they didn't do it, which brings me to my next point. The Chiefs already have the highest paid, this is cap space, number one on a safety, Tyrann Mathieu. Number four on a middle linebacker in Anthony Hitchens. Number one on a defensive end in Frank Clark. Number three in cap space now because of new contracts on Travis Kelce. Number one on a wide receiver in Sammy Watkins. Well, they can cut him. I know, but this is where they are right now on spending on individual players. Number five on a right tackle in Mitchell Schwartz. And then I was surprised about this. Eric Fisher now on his cap number is tied for 16th. So he's actually become a very affordable left tackle for the Chiefs. They are already maxing out at positions. You can't pay everyone. Now, you can take Sammy Watkins off that list and save $14 million, okay? If you go to where they spend by positions, if we just take those positions and say, okay, where are they spending by positions? Number six at left tackle. Number five at right tackle. Number one at wide receiver. Number four at tight end. Number two at defensive end, number six at middle linebacker, number two at safety. You can't pay everybody. And we can sit and say, well, they shouldn't have signed Hitchens. They should. True. All that's true. But you are where you are today, and you have to make the decisions based upon where your cap is today. Everybody wants Chris Jones. I'll say again, he's closer to Grady Jarrett than he is Aaron Donald. He's closer to Calais Campbell than he is. He's closer to a lot of guys that make a lot less money. He is more valuable to the organization in cap room and draft picks than he is if you're going to pay $20 million a year in cap space to the guy.
Okay, here's two things.
Okay.
First, I want to say, in response to your Patriots, Richard Seymour got traded when he was 29. Chris Jones is 25 right now.
Okay.
So keep that in mind. All right. The Patriots kept him around until he was 29 and then shipped him off. Vince Wilfork was a guy that they kept paying and kept him on their roster until he was 34. So I'm not buying the fact that the Patriots wouldn't keep Chris Jones.
It's a very good point.
Now, what is your number? Like, we've had this debate.
That's what we talked about. I asked
and
you.
I haven't heard your I've given you my number.
I asked you, what is your number? What is your number? Your number is what, 5 for 100?
5 for 100, and realistically, it comes down to you're probably 4 for $80 with an option to be able to get out of that fifth year. Maybe you guarantee $65 million, $70 million, but essentially 5 for $100. Okay. But knowing that you're out is probably after 4 for $80.
And that's one of my points, is that your whole argument is already moot once we get to your number, because I think he's already been offered that.
But you said 6 for $105 million.
Okay, last year I think he was offered. I think the contract that was given to him, where he fit, would have been a Fletcher Cox like deal. And Fletcher Cox is a guy, and we mentioned, if you didn't hear the show yesterday, Chris Jones came in as the number 6 defensive tackle this year, according to Pro Football Focus. Number 8 last year, number 8 the year before, number 35 the year before that. Aaron Donald was number 1 across the board in all those years. It's why I don't think the comparisons to Aaron Donald. I think that's what an agent will do. Reality is he's a full step back from that. But Fletcher Cox signed a 6-year, $102 million deal going into 2016, right? So to me, the deal is with the guaranteed money, let's see, including a $26 million bonus and $63 million guaranteed. 6% roughly is what the cap goes up, right, each year.
Mm-hmm.
So a 6% increase on that, let's call it basically $115 million. My number is 6 for $120 million. To make it worth it, because he's a Chief and keeping him here. It's 6 for $120 million. It's about $70 million guaranteed, and that's as far as I'm going to go. 6 for $120 million.
Wait a minute. You'd be willing to offer Chris Jones 6 for $120 million?
I think the furthest let me reiterate. I think the most you should go on a deal for Chris Jones is 6 for $120 million. With about $70 million guaranteed,
and I'm so confused because I wouldn't even go that high.
Right. But so this
now
is my
you're
point.
Going higher than me.
No. But I'm giving you what I think he's worth now that he's there.
Okay.
I think he is an equivalent player, more pass rush, less run defense. But I think he's an equivalent player to Fletcher Cox. I think that's a fair place to put him. And Fletcher Cox, by the way, was 25. He was a year younger, so I could even back that up a little bit. That's what I think his worth is in the NFL. Now. So that's what contract he should get. Will somebody overpay him beyond that? Probably, maybe. If I'm the Chiefs, will I give him that? I won't.
Okay, what's your number? What number would you feel comfortable with? You've done all the research. You've looked at all the guys. Like, where would you?
We're
or
gone.
Is there not a number?
We're gone. The bus has left the depot.
Okay.
Right. We can't get on this. We
so
spent
what would you
on,
have to get?
We
in
spent
draft pick
on Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu last year, and we made this decision last year. And it's one of the things I talked about last year. I talked about his contract a lot last year. People may not remember it, but we try to be proactive and not reactive. And my point was, listen, when you go make this move, you're making your bed right now on what you're doing next year. Like, every move you make, it's not just a one-year decision. It has ramifications beforehand. And when they went and spent that money on Clark and Mathieu, they were making the decision that we gave it a shot with Chris Jones. I don't know for a fact that they offered Chris Jones, he said no, and then they did the Frank Clark deal, but I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised that Chris Jones' money was given to Frank Clark. They said, okay, we need an edge rusher. We got to do it. And hey, for 1 year, we got a rock star pass rush, right? And it all played out, and they won a Super Bowl. But hard decisions of saying no, you can't pay everybody at the top of the salary scale. And I know that we want Chris Jones right now. And for right now, and for 21 or 20, Chris Jones on this team may make them better. But for 21, 22, and 23, they will be a worse football team unequivocally. The draft picks they're going to get and the cap room will make them significantly better, even though Chris Jones is good. It sucks you're here, but it is what it is. You've already made your bed. So that's what I think his value is, but I don't think they have the room to put together a Super Bowl championship team if they go give him that kind of money.
Okay, that's fair. I agree to disagree. I think that Brett Veach has confidence in himself, as he should, as an evaluator of talent, and he knows that he can go out and – I know they don't have the number of draft picks that the Dolphins and the Raiders have, but they have draft picks. He's proven that he can go out there and he can find talent, and it's his job to supplement what he's got there with these cheaper guys. And I would rather have Chris Jones at the number that Chris Jones, and let's put this way, if Chris Jones is asking for the world, then no. I'm not saying you sign Chris right. Jones no matter what.
Right.
I'm saying if Chris Jones, if you can offer him five for, you know, or even if it came down to like, hey, we'd love to be renegotiating again when he's, you know, 29. Well, okay, how about 4 years, $80 million? You know, 65, 70 million of that guaranteed, and then he becomes a free agent again after that.
That'll be going into his 30-year-old season.
Yeah, he'd be 29 while negotiating. 29, he'd be 30 when the season started.
And I think that's a great way to sum it up. And what I'm saying is, I would recommend let's take the draft picks because I think you're going to get good draft picks, and let's use the cap space elsewhere. We already made this, and this is one of the reasons why.
What does the pick need to be for you?
Irrelevant. It's irrelevant.
Matter.
I want to get as much as I can, but it's irrelevant. It's about the cap space. And I've talked about this with Justin Houston and Eric Berry over the years. They were not worth the handcuffing it did to you for being able to be flexible and go out there and get players.
But they also weren't very good anymore, and they weren't staying on the field. That's
were albatrosses. No, no. Justin Houston was coming off a 22-sack year. No.
I'm saying
Eric Berry was coming off a Pro Bowl year.
I'm talking about after their contracts were signed. The reason they were such an albatross is because you weren't getting the production from them.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, if you wanted to go out there and say, we're going to pay Patrick Mahomes and we're going to give nobody a second contract, that may absolutely be the best way to do it. 4 and 5 years of wear and tear in the NFL, most second contracts suck. All third contracts are an absolute crapshoot. Anyone in their 30s, there are teams. There's a reason why the Chiefs free agents have been, when they traded for Fuller, he was 24. And when they signed Sammy Watkins, he's 24. They know that. So we can really, at 28, you're old in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Everywhere but quarterback. And so that's why I'm telling you that Chris Jones will break down. He broke down this year. The wear and tear on the body is, in that second contract, you're going to get less games than you got in the first contract. And if you don't, that's a miracle. That's all I'm saying. Listen, you get as much as you can. You say everything to the media. We want Chris Jones. We want Chris Jones to try to get as much of a trade return as you can. But at the end of the day, I just don't see where it fits. We agree to disagree. And
agreed at it.
It's up to Brett Veach. In this case,
and
our listeners.
Brett Veach at this point, you know, right? Like he's just like we say with Dayton Moore, you give him the benefit of the doubt on a lot of things.
Right.
You're going to trust Brett Veach. I mean,
he's got a Super
regardless
Bowl
of what you think the percentage is of him and Andy Reid and who does what, that tandem put together a Super Bowl championship team and brought the Lombardi Trophy to this city. So guess what? I am going to trust in whatever they do.
Well,
I want Chris Jones here, and I want them to make it work. If they don't, I'm not going to be like raising hell and saying that this is a travesty.
We'll make a note
because
about
I trust
how much,
that he is going to do well with the assets he gets.
We'll make a note about how much you would have gone, where it would have been, and we'll see what he ends up getting, wherever he ends up getting. Corey, great stuff there in Indianapolis. Get home safe. I'm looking forward to hearing you on The Zone tomorrow.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
That's Corey Anderson in Indianapolis at the Combine. We'll take a break when we come back. Peter Yates Enoch joins us. We'll get some Jed lines, play Stump the Chumps. Your chance to win great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Shell. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Let's say le bon temps roulet.
All right, Tony Gonzalez is 44 today. Where does he rank on the NFL's career receptions list? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.